Hi, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and welcome back to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. It is Monday, the day after September 11. I bet many of you can remember where you were at on September 11, 2001, when everything in our American life changed. Today, I'd like to take you to a story about a fellow by the name of Michael Breeson. He was a new dad. He wasn't about to let his wife's first Mother's Day pass uncelebrated, but she was a nurse, and on that particular Sunday, she had to work at the local hospital, and they weren't able to celebrate together at home. So Michael plunked his new son, Jason, in a baby carrier, drove to the hospital, and in front of all the patients and coworkers, he surprised his wife, Miriam, with candy and flowers and balloons that said, "World's Greatest Mommy." It was a great Mother's Day, but after celebrating, it was time for Miriam, the wife, to go back to work. And so Jason and Michael, they needed to go back home. Michael gathered all the things that had been part of the celebration, the candy, flowers, balloons. It wasn't as much fun, of course, taking those things out to the car as it was taking them into the hospital for the surprise. So he kind of begrudgingly tossed the candy on the front seat, got the flowers arranged on the floor where they wouldn't tip over, pulled the balloons in out of the wind, and got everything arranged and headed home. And on the way home, people began to honk their horns and flash their lights at him, and he didn't realize what was going on until he hit about 55 miles an hour on the highway, and he heard a long scraping noise go down the roof, followed by a loud thump. And he watched in horror in the rearview mirror as the baby carrier bounced off the trunk onto the highway and began to slide along behind the car. He screeches to a halt. He runs back down the highway to the baby carrier. Jason, the little boy, was okay. And as the waves of guilt and fear and relief began to wash over him, Michael fell on the highway and just began to sob, which didn't stop a passing policeman from writing him up, nor the local newspaper from writing a story about it. A reporter interviewed the wife and mom, Miriam, who showed amazing understanding. And she said, "It's just not like him. He really is a good dad." Well, while there's a part of us that says, how could he possibly do that? There's another part of us that relates to this Michael Breeson story. We recognize all the mistakes that we've made, the dumb things we've done that are born out of hurry or frustration or distraction. And we know that there is enough Michael Breeson in all of us that we could be guilty of such things as well. It's all part of being human. The 8th chapter of Romans, though, begins with one of the greatest promises in all the Bible. And here's what it says. Are you ready? "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You see, and even standing by itself, there's something in those words that makes our heart flutter with joy. The significance of the fact that in spite of our sin, in spite of our selfishness, in spite of our silliness, God doesn't condemn us, that's overwhelming in and of itself. But the truth of the matter is, when you read that verse in light of chapter 7, the personal application of its truth is even more invigorating. You see, chapter 7 is one of the most powerful statements about struggling with sin in the history of literature. What makes it so powerful is that Paul providing us a glimpse into his own struggle. For me, that's pretty encouraging. Often when I think about Paul, I think of someone who's bigger than life. I see him standing up and defending his faith in front of the Roman governors and even the emperor. And I remember him on his great missionary journeys all over the Roman Empire. We've all listened to him as he instructs the churches to be faithful, as he encourages Timothy and Titus to remain true to their calling. But when we come to the 7th chapter of Romans, we get a sneak peek behind all of the looks of the apostle. And he's a lot more human than we might have first thought. Paul is a fellow struggler. Do you notice what's going on in chapter 7, beginning in like verse 14 through about 19? It's Paul saying, "Just this morning, I gave in again. It happens to us all." Earlier in the letter, he's proclaimed, "No one is righteous, no, not one." Later, he states, matter-of-factly, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But now he states, it's even more personal. "I struggle with sin, and sometimes I lose," he says. Finally, the frustration of losing seems to break through to the surface, as Paul proclaims in chapter 7, verse 22. How many times a week could you just kick yourself for failing? I mean, I could do that all the time. Maybe you haven't been patient with your kids, or maybe you've lost a grip on what you're doing or what you're trying to live through. 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways, you've tried to live by the standards that you know are right, but like Michael Breeson, even though you knew better, you did the stupid thing. And now all you feel is stupid, filthy, wretched, to use the language of Paul. But here is where Paul goes from there. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, here's what we read. Oh, what a miserable person I am, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death. Thank God, he says. The answer is in Jesus, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And then when you go down to chapter 8, verse 2, you read, so there's no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You see, I told you that the promise was even more grand when you know Paul's train of thought. You see, Paul admits that there is a struggle going on within every human being. And when we try to win on our own strength, we often get pinned to the mat. But the greatness of the promise of God's grace is that even when we fall again, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. My friend, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a mess. He sees a son or a daughter. God bless you. Go have a great Monday.